Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Really haven't taken it that hard because I think it was pretty impressed with the Browns' fight in yesterday's game, to talk about Shador's performance, to talk about all the many things, the unfortunate loss of Quinshon Judkins for the rest of the season as well. We welcome on, as we have all football season long, Browns analyst Nathan Zagura on the Fan Hotline. Nathan, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you. Happy Christmas week.
Happy Christmas week to you guys as well. So I always struggle with this. I know your little man is inside a year old. JP's got a little one that's about 3 months old. How much are you guys going out? Like how far out do you guys go for a child under one for Christmas?
Well, I always host Christmas, so the big Christmas dinner will be at our house, so that'll be easy. Christmas Eve is at her parents' house, so that'll be. Right now, we're kind of trying to talk through it. Like, do we have to try to come back and get them on bedtime? I think we can get them in a pack and play, let them sleep it out. We'll see how it works. But that's kind of, yeah. So not far. First of all, it's not far away. It's like 10 minutes away. Not far. We're not overly ambitious because we're very lucky. He's a great sleeper. And so we want his routine. It works. Let's keep it rolling because, you know, we don't want him up all night and then leading into Christmas. I'm like Buddy the Elf. I'm a big Christmas guy. So I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, like but yeah, plan. My 3-month-old is going to get basically nothing. But my my 3-year-old or almost 3-year-old, we taught her about Santa the other day and all that, and like we're yeah. like this is the year. I wrap presents and everything. Last year I didn't even wrap presents. I was like, just open it up out of the box, you'll be fine. This year, like I'm wrapping everything. We're doing Christmas movies. We're getting all into it.
Oh yeah, we're gonna let him like he's gonna rip some things and you know get in there and get in the mix. So yeah, I don't. He's not gonna remember it, but you know we'll try to get him a little something. But yeah, I can't wait to get to the point where it's like. He's all in, write letters to Santa. It's going to be epic.
It's we still holding on with my 12-year-olds. We're still holding on.
Dude,
now.
Good, man. Good for you. Good for you. It's the best. And quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, Santa is real. It is real. It's all in all of our hearts. It's a beautiful thing. I'm a big Santa guy.
Darn tootin'. I said I thought Shador was serviceable yesterday. I really only took umbrage with the first interception off Quinshon's shoulder pad. How would you evaluate how Shador played yesterday?
I mean, his highest completion percentage. There's still things obviously he needs to work on, but I thought, you know, that opening drive and that opening script was so good, and I thought he executed it so well. We saw him make plays with his legs, you know, career high in rushing yards, 49 there. So there were a lot of good things. There are some things that I think still need to be cleaned up, and, you know, the one with Quinshon, that shouldn't be an interception. That's either got to be a catch or it ends up kind of down. But yeah, he threw it, I think, a little before Quinshon was ready, but maybe Quinshon's got to get his head around a little quicker. That one was an unfortunate one. The one area that he's got to work on, and he's had a lot of batted balls with this, is when he's kind of throwing short around the big defensive lineman. He kind of almost just kind of little softly pushes the ball out there. That's where you got to work on changing your arm angles, using your eyes to create little windows to kind of get those balls out. And hopefully that'll clean up, I think, over time as he's learning it. But yeah, I think we've seen at least glimpses. There were parts in this game where he was really, really good. Didn't push the ball down the field as much, but they played a lot of too high shell, and so that was good development, taking what they're giving him, got the ball out of his hand a little bit quicker in this game. So I'm encouraged again. I think that, you know, we're getting to the point where we've seen enough kind of the high upside good that you can say, all right, if we can kind of get to a point where get him a little bit better protection, see the wide receivers, give him a whole year in it, that, you know, I think we have an opportunity to have a real solution at that position.
How much do you feel like the pinky finger played into at least the second half and how he then didn't really drive the football deep at all? Or is that not really a thing?
I don't know how much of a thing it was. You know, he started off 8-for-8, went into a little bit of a lull after that, but then I thought finished really strong and made some really good throws down the stretch. So I don't think it was a huge hindrance, but tough guy. It was good to see him out there and continue to battle, and he made some plays. I mean, he finished 20-29, so I was pleased overall kind of with what I saw. We got to get rid of the turnovers, got to be more explosive. You know, defensively, it was unfortunate because I really thought offensively our plan was very good early on, and we had a chance to really get going. But, you know, they scored on their first three drives, and so it kind of changed the tenor of the game really quickly. But and then the defense was great after that fact. They were phenomenal. So, you know, we didn't really get to see it kind of play out in that positive game script, but I still was very encouraged.
Nathan, from the offensive line standpoint, I don't think they had a great game. I don't think they had maybe their worst game yet. I thought there were some positives. What did you see from the offensive line, and did you see any kind of individually bright performances?
I do think that, you know, Luke Whipler's playing really well. And I like what he's brought, you know, to the center position. And he's a guy that, you know, maybe you could envision next year taking over as the full-time starter. He's been very good in pass protection, so that's been good. You know, the tackles, I thought, just unfortunately had a rough game because as kind of we got into passing situations, they were able to rush four. And, you know, Joey Bosa and Greg Rousseau were able to really kind of collapse the pocket, and that made it tough on Shador. So Cam Robinson, I thought, had some struggles. There's a couple of plays that were pretty bad out there. And you know, KT Levison not only had the penalties, but he had some struggles as well. And so tackle, I just think, has to be a major point of emphasis upgrading for this team next year.
Yeah, oddly enough, Tevin Jenkins graded out as the highest offensive player this week. I really like a lot of Tevin Jenkins. I just don't know if I can rely on him from a health standpoint.
Yes, and I think that, you know, that's kind of been the knock on him. Talented, second-round pick, all of that. You know, when kind of his tenure in Chicago was marred by injury, wasn't able to finish that game in Chicago, again, ironically enough. But, yeah, he's a talented player and a big, good lineman, and I thought he played well in that game also. The other thing that's kind of getting lost in some of, I think, our run offense and some of the struggles we're having there is, you know, the tight ends. David Njoku is a really good blocking tight end. And Harold Fannin is a willing blocker. He's done well, and he's obviously a tremendous receiver, over 70 catches. Now he has the record for the most receptions by a Browns rookie in franchise history, so congratulations to him. Scored a rushing touchdown. So he's really, really good. But Blake Whitehart, and I think Brendan Bates in particular, who's been brought into block, I think that they've really struggled in that aspect of the game. And a lot of the runs that have been blown up have been, you know, tight end across, kind of blocked the backside. It just has not worked well. And so I think David Njoku's loss as a blocker has really been felt a little bit in our run game.
Nathan, I know you talked about the defense, and you know the first half, a lot of yards on the ground. Second half, they seemed to bottle it up a bit. What was the big change from the first half to the second half with the run defense?
Well, I think number one, in the first half, they were just really moving us. And in particular, you know, in our defensive tackle position, no Malik Collins, they caught us on that one drive where you had Maurice Hurst in, who had, you know, really hadn't played football this year, played four snaps last week. Aiden Huntington was back off of injuries and they went no huddle and they kind of really got it going. They were just gashing us. And I think we made a much more of a concerted effort to stop the run after that, got a little more base, got Diabate out there. Carson had another 14 tackles. He had a great game. But, you know, I think they just bucked up a little bit and said, you know, we're not going to get moved off our spots. And we maintained our gap integrity and guys flowed to the football. But James Cook is a sensational runner, and they have a very good run-blocking line. And I'm glad we were able to kind of rein it in there because for a while it was looking pretty ugly. You know, James Cook was on his way to having, you know, a 200-yard game, it felt like. And in the second half, the Browns did a good job of not letting the Bills extend drives, and the Browns did a great job on third down. Now, the first three drives, you didn't even get them really to third down. And so they did a good job forcing them into third downs and then getting off the field when they did.
Josh Allen said it was a point of emphasis for him to make sure that he wasn't in the record books. He just didn't want to be in the record books. That was not going to be a thing for him. And he did a relatively good job. He's not in the record books now for Myles Garrett. But is there anything that these teams are doing differently in the past couple weeks that you see to try to avoid being in the record book? Or is it a lot of the same and it's just not happening at the same rate for Myles?
So that game plan they had, they didn't want Myles in the game. And Myles was basically playing right end, rushing against their left tackle, Deion Dawkins. He was double or triple teamed on every play. He often got a chip, then got Dawkins, then got the left guard over there in the mix as well. You saw there for first 12 pass plays, I think six of them were immediate quick game like catch throws, and everything else was a sprint out right away from Myles. They didn't even run in Myles' direction.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even get a tackle for loss in the game. They wanted him to not be involved in this game at all. And I'll tell you what, next week I would expect a lot more of the same, because there is no way the Steelers, because we all talk about Michael Strahan's record, well, T.J. Watt tied it. And I don't think there's any way the Steelers want this to happen on their watch. Browns didn't have a sack of Aaron Rodgers in the first game. He gets rid of it as quick as anybody. It's going to take kind of a special play where Rodgers looking it right, has to hold the football, and then just kind of gets swallowed up by Miles. So it's going to be tough, I think, this week. Of course, he can do it, but really, he only had, I thought, one real pass rush where he even got a shot to get Josh Allen. He ends up getting a half a sack on that one, but that was really it. And so that was tough. That was not fun. I did not appreciate what the Bills did there. I think you're going to have to see Miles get moved around a lot more and basically say, line up over the guards, line up over the center, line up over the right tackle, left tackle, be moving every play so that you can try to get an advantageous matchup or catch them off guard and get there quick enough before Rodgers can get rid of it.
I had a different plan for how I wanted Miles to break it. I wanted him to break it against Buffalo, and then I wanted him to finish shattering it against the Steelers. Can we all admit, though, Romo, Nance, Steelers, this is kind of the perfect place for him to break this, especially
right in front of TJ Watt's
with
face.
TJ just sitting awesome right there on the sidelines.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of it. You think about that Strahan set the record on Brett Favre, right? So there would be kind of a lot of...
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Poetic justice, and who better to make a call of that level and of that nature, obviously, than Jim Nance. So I think that would be a tremendous outcome if that's what happens. And I know everybody wants it. We all want it to happen at home. It would be awesome. And that's certainly what I think, what I'm rooting for. And that's what everybody is rooting for.
All right. I need your take on whether we can get this going. I think if Miles breaks it against the Steelers, I pitched this last week on the air. We go to Mason Rudolph and we say,
you can't say this to Nathan.
I can. Nathan's going to love this. I know.
He's a respected professional.
You are a respected professional. I respect you, Nathan. That's why I'm asking you.
By the
this
way, thank you very much. I appreciate
you're
that.
Good,
and now I'm fully nervous.
All right. This is good. You never like to tee him off on this. All right. So you go to Mason Rudolph and say, Miles gets one more chance with your helmet, or we're going to release the audio from the field of what you said to him.
You see why I said you couldn't say this?
Which do you think Mason Rudolph would choose?
I got my head in my hands right now. I'm just shaking my head.
I feel like he would choose the helmet. That's just me.
Yeah. What did you ask Joe Hayden?
Or get Mason Rudolph to ask him.
He went out of pocket with Joe Hayden, and I interrupted the answer. So I want to make sure you really had a chance to answer that one, because I didn't want to. I tried saving you, Nathan, but there's only so much I can do here.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and deflect like that great Chappelle show skit where he pleads the fifth. I plead the fifth.
What do you make of the Steelers right now? It's a weird spot they're in. Obviously, they ended up winning yesterday's game in a game that it wasn't even the final play. I was kind of like, what happened here? It was the play with Tesla and the offensive pass interference two plays prior. But they keep winning games and they keep getting above 500, although I'm left not very impressed every week.
I couldn't agree more. I feel like they're the one team that in the AFC playoffs that everybody's going to say they have no chance to come out of the AFC. But somehow they keep finding a way. I thought, you know, they were going to lose in Detroit. They did not. It's wild. Mike Tomlin it's incredible. And, you know, they wanted to get rid of him, and the fans were chanting for, they were booing Renegade. That was like a couple of weeks ago. And this team is now completely in the driver's seat. If they win this Sunday, when any of either of their next two games, they clinch the division. It's wild. You got to tip your cap to them, because they do it every year. They do it every year. It's certainly not pretty. Now, they haven't won a playoff game, I think, what, since 2016. I don't know that they will win a playoff game. You look at the 5-6-7 in the AFC, and it's loaded. But you got to tip your cap. They keep winning. It would be awesome, though, to play spoiler and delay that for 1 week for them.
It's a very sly 6-7, you old dog. Nathan, great stuff, buddy.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
You teed him off, all right? You clued him in. Like the first Joe Hayden thing. Yeah,
catch him by surprise.
Also, is it bad that I forgot the out of pocket thing that I asked Joe Hayden? Because I just asked so many out of pocket things.
It was very out of pocket, but I don't remember what it was either. But I do remember having to step in and be like, "Joe, you're not expected to answer that."
He had a very honest response, and then you just put the kibosh on it.
It was something about his time with the Steelers versus time with the Browns, and we'll leave it at that.
Now I'm
honestly
really
rewind.
To think about it.
Go check it out. Although we get no credit at this point, so it's a horrible tease by me.
I think at this point, beat reporters should just start telling us who actually will be playing for the Cavs on any given night. Like, even G Leaguers are out. Chris Livingston is out. Evan Mobley out. We knew that one. Larry Nance, another calf. Luke Travers, Max Strus.
Another calf. He's added calves.
Well, no, I was going to say another calf injury.
Yeah, I know.
I do like when people are like, what's going on with all these calf injuries? I'm like, it almost is like they're playing a high-impact sport where there's a lot of jumping real high in the air. Yeah,
it's almost like maybe Steve Kerr is right. Yeah. But it's not going to happen because of money. You watching tonight?
No. Not doing it. I'm going to watch Monday Night Football.
You're going to on protest or what?
Yeah, no, I'm just...
Earned your attention?
No, I'm not going to sully my Christmas spirit with Cavs basketball right now.
Are you going to sully your Christmas spirit on Christmas Day when Donovan Mitchell takes on Stitch?
I don't know that I can.
That's how they're phrasing this with Jalen Brunson. They're putting him in the Mickey Mouse ears, and then Brunson is with the Stitch ears, and it's really awkward programming by Disney.
No,
you don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
No,
I can tell you don't know what I'm talking about.
Not the Disney kids, that version.
No, but it's not. I don't think they're actually doing that version of it. But in all the promos of it, it's got Donovan Mitchell in these Mickey Mouse ears, and then Jalen Brunson is wearing Stitch ears for some reason, and it's really incredibly awkward.
Well, no, I'm definitely out on it. But no, I mean the Cavs have finally got me to a point where I'm just so annoyed. I'll tune in periodically. I'm not going to be watching every second like I have pretty much all year.
I thought Friday night when the boos started raining down, there was a lot of intrigue attached to that game for myself because it was the fan base was turning in such a way that I can't look away when that happens.
Chris Fedor saying Dan Gilbert not happy with where the Cavs are. If you're Kobe, you're just clenching right now. You are just clenching.
Or how about if you're JB Bickerstaff? What's your reaction? Smiles as wide as you can possibly get.
By the way, I don't care about. I know Cavs fans do. I don't care about JB Bickerstaff. I don't. Oh, it's the one seed in Detroit. No one said he couldn't coach. I just don't think he was the right coach for this team anymore.
And I think ultimately that will be proven right. But if you're JB, you have to be smiling a little bit.
Yeah, but that's. I'm not going to take a shot.
He's petty enough. He's petty enough, and I don't. I would think the same. I would probably think the same way. But he's definitely petty enough.
I really liked Nathan Zagura's analysis of what happened with Myles Garrett yesterday.
Yeah,
because it was apparent the Bills would let the Browns win before the Bills would let Myles Garrett break the sack record.
So Josh Allen in the post game made this whole commentary about basically his number one goal this week. It sounded like it was even beyond winning the game was to make sure that Myles Garrett, that he wasn't in the record books and on every videotape when you show the sack record being broken. He was very aware in an interesting way that he didn't want that to be him. And he smiled about it after the game as if like goal accomplished more so than anything. We got that done. I would imagine Aaron Rodgers is going to have the same line of thinking. But I do think it highlights how incredibly tough this is. And if it's Aaron Rodgers and then it's Joe Burrow in week 18, none of these quarterbacks want to be in the record books this way.
Yeah, what's weird is I understand it when it's like the home run record in baseball because you're serving up a meatball. You taking a sack in the NFL is like 25%. You're responsible for about 25%
of that. Mark McGwire hit 62 against Steve Trashel. And the only reason why anyone remembers his name, number 46, is because of that. Like for some of these guys, that's a something, you know?
Well, okay, I also remember Steve Trashel saying for like a week before, like, he's not getting it off me, and they got it off him.
I don't remember that, but I'm sure it happened. But like the whole point is that... if you're Josh Allen, if you're Aaron Rodgers, if you're Joe Burrow, you're not just a journeyman starting pitcher in baseball. You're not just this nothing burger. We talked about Tyler Huntley being the guy that ended up getting 22 and a half for when TJ Watt ended up tying the record. Like those type of guys, sure. These are all timers. These are legendary quarterbacks. They don't want this to be they would rather ruin a play than be the quarterback that goes down.
I think it's LDE. I think it is.
Think it's what?
You know exactly what I mean. It's LDE. We'll tell you off air.
Oh, LDE.
Yeah. It's right up there with Coin Lito. I thought it was a light fixture
for a second.
Coin Lito.
I do love the chat. Anytime Coin Lito says something bad, just drop a bunch of corns.
Yeah.
Corn emojis everywhere.
A couple people did it in the break.
Did they? That's great.
But no, I think it's chicken bleep. I think if you're thinking that much about getting the historical sack, guys, Brett Favre is the last guy to have quote unquote broke the record. This isn't the same thing as pitching.
No, but I think we saw that. I think we saw that play replayed so many times. This is where I think it lives in these players' brains now.
But it's not in the only way that
they obviously care about it.
Yeah, but no, they shouldn't. Though.
Josh Allen. But that's the only thing that I heard of note him talking about in the postgame.
The only reason why it's still a thing with Favre is because Favre laid down. Favre like basically gave him the sack record. I don't think Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or any of these other guys would do that.
I know. I get it. I get it. But like when Myles Garrett goes to Canton, the final clip, the premier clip that they play will be him breaking the sack. Or if it's not the first clip, it's the last clip. It's one of the preeminent clips in that stretch on ESPN and all the big networks. Like these are, and Josh Allen, I'm telling you, it stood out to me. It was like he was very... You could tell, and Nathan spoke to this and how they attacked that game plan in getting after Miles. Now I think Nathan's right. Here's what has to happen, though. He became a little bit too predictable in being on the one side of the ball. Mm-hmm. I think he's just got to go back to what Miles always does, which is just lining up all over the place so you can't predict where he's at in any given moment, and then ultimately he's just going to get it that way.
I think you're right. I cannot imagine being 6'5", 250 pounds, one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL, married to Haley Steinfeld, with a child on the way, future financially set on every level. You'll never have to work again if you don't want to after this next contract here with Buffalo. And you're like, oh, I don't want to be in that Myles Garrett sack video. I'm about to go Shelby Harris. I'm about to call him a hoe.
I get you and Josh Allen don't think the same. I get it, but like clearly it mattered to Josh Allen. And I would bet it matters to Aaron Rodgers, who's always cared about how he's perceived.
Yeah.
While acting like he doesn't.
Yeah, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback. Don't be a... I'm not going to say it, but you know exactly what I'm thinking.
You already said it. Shelby Harris.
What
more could you possibly say in this moment?
I'm not saying the H word. I'm just saying you're acting like an H. That's all. Ho. That was the one.
I was thinking Honest Friend.
Daryl Ryder in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.